This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is Sports to the Max here on a Thursday night at CECO. Mike's been away. He worked earlier today. By the way, highlights of Mike filling in for Chad. Available at play.it here on CCO. Coming up in a moment, John Fokey, the voice of the Lynx, will join us. He settled in the Valley of the Sun. The Lynx take on the Mercury tomorrow night, and then they get Phoenix back here on Sunday, and it sounds like Phoenix is going to drag some of that warmer weather back to the Twin Cities. Cool day today. It almost has a September vibe to it. 67 right now, but as you heard a moment ago, it's going to warm up and be a summer-like weekend. But days like this in July remind you that autumn's not far away. A couple of headlines. I will talk Twins in about 30 minutes right now. From now, Mike Paradino will join us from the Pioneer Press. He covers the Twins. The break ends tomorrow night, the Twins and the Astros from Houston. He did a piece, and I invite you to check it out at twincities.com. Five things the Twins need to stay in contention. We won't spill all the beans, but we'll get into what the Twins need to do to stay in the mix anyway, coming up following the news and weather at 7. Good news for Gorgui Jang of the Timberwolves. He'll play in the NBA's Africa game next month. The league announced today the rosters for the August 5th exhibition in Johannesburg. It's a second edition of the event in South Africa. Jang will play play for Team Africa, made up of players either born on the continent or second-generation Africans. Jang was born in Senegal. Former Timberwolves player and coach Sidney Lowe, now with the Wizards, will be among the assistant coaches taking part. Jang is entering his fifth season with the Timberwolves. Venus Williams on to the finals at Wimbledon, and she will take on Garbine Muguruza for the title on Saturday. Williams improved to 9-1 in Wimbledon semifinals with a 6-4, 6-2 win over Johanna Konta, who is hoping to become the first British woman to reach the final since Virginia Wade won it all in 77. At 37, Venus is the oldest Wimbledon finalist since Martina Navratilova was a 94 runner-up at that age. So Venus Williams plays for the title on Saturday. The men's semifinals, the great Roger Federer, the last of the big four, still alive at the All England Club. Right now, I'm pleased to be joined by John Fokey. He is a voice of the Minnesota Lynx, and he's settled in the Valley of the Sun. I suppose another hot one, John.
Yeah, I mean, nothing like waking up in 55-degree weather in the Twin Cities and, you know, 95 or whatever it is once we get here. It's certainly a shock to the system, but that's kind of what you expect when you come to Phoenix in the middle of the summer.
Yeah, for sure. It feels like fall today. I just mentioned a moment ago, 67, cloudy, north winds at 8 miles an hour. I mean, you could almost make a case for putting a coat on today.
Well, I know I went out to walk my dog this morning at about 6:30 and stepped out in shorts, t-shirt, and flip-flops and thought, man, I made a mistake.
Right, yeah.
I need to go back in and get a hoodie or something. It was wild. And then, you know, like I said, we land here in typical summertime in Phoenix weather for sure.
And the schedule makers have a home and home, first in Phoenix, then back in St. Paul for these two teams. So not that the Lynx and the Mercury aren't familiar with each other, but they will be very familiar after these two games.
Yeah, and it feels like we were just out here talking to you, you know, a week ago. I think it was 2 weeks ago, actually.
Yep.
But so three times in a span of 6 days or 6 games, Minnesota will face Phoenix. And obviously with the home and home setup, it's got a playoff type feel to it coming into this. And, you know, last time we talked, it was all about the matchup between Brittany Griner and Sylvia Fowles. And I think that still holds true. In that first meeting, though, we didn't really get to see much of it. Brittany and Sill actually both picked up early fouls and were relegated to the bench for much of the first half. But in the second half, Fowles was able to stay on the floor. Griner kept picking up fouls, and we just didn't really get a chance to see those two match up for long stretches. So hopefully this time around, you know, both players are able to stay on the floor for longer. Obviously, Sill did a better job in the second half of avoiding the foul trouble and putting together another dominating night as Minnesota was able to take game one of the four-game season series. But, you know, you look at those two players and, both averaging over 20 points per game, both right up there in terms of block shots, very good rebounders, still an elite rebounder this season, and Griner's rebounds are up versus her career averages, and, you know, both of them passing at a good clip as well when the double teams come. So hopefully those two can, you know, live up to the matchup and stay on the floor and give us a good one tomorrow.
Sylvia Fowles, a WNBA All-Star starter, along with Maya Moore of the Minnesota Lynx, and Phoenix Mercury, Diana Taraz, he another starter. And Sylvia Fowles, we talk about it over and over again, but it just is a great story on how she has emerged as such a force.
Absolutely, and it's funny to look at, you know, Griner and Fowles. Obviously, you want to compare them because they're both, you know, over 6'6 centers. You're kind of classic back-to-the-basket bigs, but when you look at how they're getting it done, you know, the usage rate for Griner was so high coming into that last meeting. It was the highest of her career. And while she's putting up good numbers, the reason why is because they're featuring her and they're running everything through her. Meanwhile, with Sylvia, you look at her usage rate and it's about at what her career numbers are. But the efficiency with which she's scoring when she does get touches is through the roof. I mean, it's just phenomenal. So she has really taken big strides in her game this year and is taking advantage of every opportunity that she gets, whether it's, you know, running a pick and roll, rolling strong and finishing on the catch, whether it's, you know, crashing the offensive glass or dominating on the defensive end in terms of block shots, steals. She's in the top five in both those categories and rebounding, you know, number two overall and averaging a career high 4 offensive rebounds. So she is just taking advantage of every chance she's gotten, whether on the offensive end or the defensive end, and just playing at such an efficient, high level right now. It's really wild to see.
And the Lynx will probably be hungry tomorrow night in Phoenix because they're coming off a very rare clunker. They didn't play well at all in Chicago.
Yeah, it was a wild, wild game. I mean, Chicago came out and they hit their first 11 shots, and you know, coming into that game, Chicago was 11th in offensive efficiency. So you thought there's going to be a regression to the mean, but it just never really seemed to come. I mean, they were up around 77, 78% in the opening frame, and then they stayed in the mid to high 60s throughout the rest of the ball game. And early on in that first half, Minnesota was able to score with them. But once we got to the third quarter, the Lynx got a few stops, but offensively, they couldn't generate any points. They were held to just 10 points in that third quarter. And so Chicago started hitting again to start the fourth. And it was just, you know, once they had those shots fall and as I mentioned, hit their first 11, it seemed like the basket was the size of an ocean and they were just chucking stones in it.
Yeah, just amazing. And the first loss of the year for the Lynx on the road.
Not only that, but going into that game, you know, of the 280 minutes the Minnesota had played on the road, they trailed in only just under 20 of those.
Oh.
And for the entire season, they hadn't trailed by more than 9 points a game, 9 points in any game. And then all of a sudden, they found themselves down by, you know, 19, or I think the lead at one point got up to like 20, 26 or something for Chicago. So, yeah, I mean, it was a very uncharacteristic night for Minnesota to find themselves down by that much and in a game where they just really couldn't seem to gain ground on Chicago. And, you know, give Chicago credit. I mean, they executed their offense. They got to spots that they wanted to. But, you know, Courtney Vandersloot had hit 3 threes all year, and she knocked down 3 in that ball game. I mean, and there were just a number of oddities like that where a player hadn't been playing well in a certain area, but they had a night. I mean, Vandersloot had a career high in points and matched a franchise record in assists in that game. So, you know, everything was working for Chicago, and they got some historic-type performances.
So a bump in the road for the Lynx to get back at practice this week. John, you spent a lot of time around the team. How did this week go? Were they able to come out of that blowout loss to Chicago and have a good week?
Yeah, and I think everybody, you know, talked about using that game as kind of an eye-opening moment where you just say, okay, we've been winning games, but obviously we've still got a long way to go to be playing at the level that we want to. And it revealed some things that, you know, they had to go back into practice and really drill in on, get back to some basics on some things, clean some things up. And so, well, you never want to suffer a loss, and certainly, you know, a loss in that fashion. You hope that good comes out of it, in the sense that you recognize those areas, you really focus on them. And then, you know, coming into this stretch, the home and home with Chicago, or with Phoenix, and then you've got one more game before the All-Star break against Dallas. So a chance to kind of get some rhythm, basically by playing every other day leading up to the All-Star break. And hopefully that bodes well for Minnesota, because coming out of the All-Star break, they're really going to be running a gauntlet through the end of July and into August with just a ton of games and not a ton of practice time, pretty much the exact opposite of what they had throughout the month of June and into early July.
All right, John. John Folkey joining us once again. Lynx and Mercury are from Phoenix tomorrow night. And we so often, and rightfully so, talk about Sylvia Fowles and Maya Moore and Simone Augustus and Lindsey Whalen, you know, the superstars, the Olympians, the all-stars, that sort of thing. But give us a couple of players that really stood out for the Lynx and maybe get overshadowed by those stars.
Well, I think first and foremost is Rebecca Brunson, you know, and I know we talk about her quite a bit, but yeah. She doesn't necessarily get all the accolades that those other players that you mentioned do, but just in terms of what she can do defensively and how she can match up with so many different high-profile players and take them out of their rhythm and really just get after them and shut them down is incredibly impressive. And then you're starting to see, you know, the offense come around for her too. She scored season-high 22 against Chicago and, you know, is shooting a career high from beyond the arc, something that she has added to her game this year, which is rare when you think about a player that's been in the league 14 years, adding, you know, a weapon like that and being so successful at it, and how that's helped change the offense for Minnesota. So I think always first and foremost, Brunson steps to mind. And then you've gotten good performances recently, you know, from Renee Montgomery and Gia Perkins, a couple of bench players who have stepped up and finally gotten some shots to fall on the offensive end while still doing what they're known for on the defensive end, which is just pestering the opponent's backcourt. And so it's good to see those players see those shots fall and get a little recognition, because, you know, we don't always talk about, hey, you know, this player did a great job shielding off Diana Taurasi and not allowing her to catch the ball. That's not necessarily what we focus on. We focus on who's scoring. So to see those players get that recognition by getting some shots to fall while keeping it up on the defensive end, I think, you know, those are two that really come to mind too.
All right, John, we'll see you soon. Once again, the Lynx take on the Mercury in Phoenix tomorrow night. The same two teams in St. Paul on Sunday evening. Game time, 6 o'clock. Go to the Lynx website for ticket info on that. And then Dallas in on Wednesday at the X in St. Paul. Always great, John. Thanks.
All right, take care.
All right, there he is, John Folkey, the voice of the Lynx. Good enough to join us from Phoenix. Team got into town a few hours ago. I would assume they'll take it easy tonight, shoot around tomorrow, and then hopefully get back on the winning track with a win in the Valley of the Sun. Sports to the max on a Thursday. Steve in for Mike. Mike on from noon to 3 today for Chad. You can catch all the highlights at play.it. Mike back in town. And then tomorrow he's in 3 to 6, I believe. And then he returns to Sports to the Max next Monday night. It's going to be fun. Mike Max, Ron Shera, Monday night, and live outdoors here on CCO. Let's get you up to date on some of the other headlines in sports today. We had a couple early. Let's jump over to MLB. The Chicago Cubs have acquired ace Jose Quintana from the White Sox in a major trade between the crosstown rivals. The Cubs trail the Brewers by 5.5. They're two games under, and the defending champs shook things up in a big way by acquiring Quintana, a 2016 All-Star. In exchange, the Cubs sent four prospects to the White Sox. So that is a big, big move. And I caught a good chunk of the All-Star game on Tuesday night. And, of course, they had a lot of people, Mike. They had Bryce Harper mic'd in the outfield, which was unusual at best. But they had a mic on Joe Maddon, the Cubs manager and the NL manager. And when they asked Maddon about what the Cubs need to do, well, they need to get their pitching sorted out. So what do they do today? They pick up a good one. And that may give them a huge boost. Will it be enough? The Brewers seem to be playing way over their heads. You've got the Cardinals, but maybe this is the spark that'll get the Cubs rolling, because it certainly has been a tough defense so far. Meanwhile, the Brewers have acquired left-handed reliever Tyler Webb from the New York Yankees for a minor leaguer. The Nats say they won a major legal victory. An appeals court has ruled that a committee of Major League Baseball owners and executives can determine the amount of rights fees the Nationals can earn from television broadcasts of their games. It's the latest chapter in a long dispute between the Nats and the Mid-Atlantic Sports Network, which is controlled by the Orioles. In 2015, a New York judge threw out an arbitration decision that said the network owed the Nats about $298 million for the team's television rights from 2012 to 2016. NBA news. The Knicks and Rockets are apparently still talking about a trade involving Carmelo Anthony, but no deal is imminent. A person with knowledge says the Knicks apparently would accept a move to the Rockets, but the teams are still trying to find a trade deal that works for both sides. So there you go. Anthony has a no-trade clause and would have to agree to any deal. He has told the Knicks he would waive it and go to Houston or Cleveland. We'll see what happens there. The Denver Nuggets have announced the signing of four-time All-Star Paul Millsap. That deal was announced quite a while ago, but it became official. DeMarcus Cousins of the New Orleans Pelicans, Kyle Lowry of the Toronto Raptors, and Kristaps Porzingis of the New York Knicks will play for Team World in the NBA Africa game. Of course, as we told you a little bit earlier, Gorgui Dieng will play for Team Africa in that game in Johannesburg. Little NHL news on this Thursday. Carolina Hurricanes owner Peter Karmanos Jr. is considering selling the NHL team. The offer could have to come from former Texas Rangers CEO Chuck Greenberg. Bloomberg News and the NBC affiliate in Raleigh reported that Greenberg is close to purchasing the team and will not move the Hurricanes. Bloomberg reported the sale price at roughly $500 million. That's what the Vegas Golden Knights paid to get into the NHL, $500 million. So it'd be a little surprising if a club sold for less than that. So there you go. Once again, Chuck Greenberg may be buying the Carolina Hurricanes, but won't move them. Little golf news, the U.S. Women's Open underway in New Jersey. Shanton Shan Feng, your leader at 600 par. Amy Yang, one back. Lydia Ko in a group four off the lead. One round of the U.S. Women's Open underway. Senior Players Championship in Maryland. Larry Mize, 8-under-64. He has a one-shot lead there. Meanwhile, in the Quad Cities, the John Deere is underway. And your leader after a great round, 8-under-par today at the John Deere. Charles Howell III, Ollie Schneiderjans at 8-under. Troy Merritt rallied. He's at 2-under-par. Of course, he played his golf at Spring Lake Park. Tim Herron struggled today. Lumpy, 5-over-76 in the Quad Cities. You're up to date on some of the sports headlines. We have all the news, all the weather coming up at 7 here on the CCO.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
we really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.